Here's our teacher, Pastor Mike McIntosh, to begin today's edition of Chapter and Verse Radio.
Therefore, the Lord Himself, this is personal, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus.
You've joined us for CNV Radio, where we're continuing a prophetic study of the book of Isaiah. Instead of embracing holidays filled with joy, peace, and hope, many lonely people are overlooked with burdens. Their lives are filled with stress, despair, and isolation. Christ came to lift our burdens and relieve our stresses. He gives us hope and fills our hearts with abundant love, enough love to give to others, to share the hope within us from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A virgin shall conceive a child is the title of our message, and the seventh chapter of Isaiah is our text as we begin our study today with Mike McIntosh.
So if he's the same, then truth is the same, since he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So then truth 5,000 years ago would be the same 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, or 2 minutes ago. It's man that changes, and it's the philosopher that changes. So here's what he says. Now acquaint yourself with him. And that's the greatest thing you can do, that I want to establish myself by acquainting myself with you, Lord. And if it's painful, I still want to acquaint myself with you. I want to know you. I don't want to know an organization or a preacher or a religion. I want to know you. There's no mediator between man and God except the man Christ Jesus. It's not you get it through the pastor or you get it through the church. No, you get it through the Lord himself. So he says, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. And that's where you'll find your peace. Thereby, good will come to you. Now there you go, a promise. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Be a person of the Holy Bible this year. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. So maybe you are watching, you're listening, you're sitting here, and you need to be built up. And you've been broken down. You are not who you used to be with the Lord. It's because you have walked away from the Scriptures. You've walked away from praying about all things. You've trusted in your own self, in your own imaginations. Now, as we see in our stores, as you check out, at most grocery stores, you get horoscopes and prognostications and all sorts of weird magazines about my mother was an alien. You know, those kind of things. Man gives birth to baby. On and on. Just really demonic, evil, stupid things that just dull your brain out. And yet, Isaiah chapter 47, God says to his people who were so influenced by Babylon, which our society is still influenced by Babylon, that he says to them, stand now with the soothsayers and the prognosticators and the diviners. Stand now with the astrologers. And stand now with the sorcerers, the witches, and the witchcraft, Wicca. Stand now with all this sorceries and drugs is the word for pharmacopa, for witchcraft and for drugs, usage and distributing. You're into witchcraft. If you're smoking a joint or selling dope, you're into witchcraft. Now, stand now, he says, and see if these things will deliver you from my wrath that is about to come. And you see, that's where we are as a people. We have trusted in everything. We have trusted in the lie. We have walked away. We need to be rebuilt and reestablished. Our new guy says he's going to spend $1 trillion rebuilding roads and putting shovels in people's hands. $1 trillion. We just spent $1 trillion on a war in the Middle East, and we just borrowed about $1 trillion from China and elsewhere. And we just gave over $1 trillion in bailout packages. Now, we're talking some dollars here, aren't we? We've talked about $4 or $5 trillion. Well, how can we spend $1 trillion in 24 months if we just spent $1 trillion on a war and we have borrowed over $1 trillion. How do you do that? We have trusted in vanity. And God said to the people of Isaiah's book, stand now with everything you've trusted in. But if you're willing, if you're honestly willing to say, God, I don't want to trust in these things. I look and I see that it's all shattered and falling. I fall on your throne and on your mercy. Then God's going to work, and it may be painful. It may hurt. Because we're going to let the little boy and the little girl go that are in our hearts. And we're going to let the lust go, and we're going to let the flesh go. And we're going to die to ourselves and pick up our cross daily and follow after him. But if you're willing, God is willing to take us as a nation and rebuild us and to make us strong. But he starts in homes and neighborhoods. And I want it for me and my house, as Joshua asked, for me and my house, well, we're going to serve the Lord. Are we going to be perfect? Absolutely not. Are we going to try to be perfect? No. But we're going to try to be pleasing to the Lord. And we're not going to be super religious and hyper religious, trying to just walk on water and prove and shout and scream. No, we're going to take the hits. And we're going to confess our sins one to another. And we're going to ask God to forgive us and have mercy on us. But we want to. So this is a time for God to do what he says. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from you. And then verse 1 of chapter 23, Job answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. I can't do anything. My hands are just listless. What can I do? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I just want to see you, God. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after thee, O Lord. Are you there? I just want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to know you love me. I want to know that my error of judgment is gone. My sins are erased and cleansed. And that you love me and you'll pick me back up and push me forward again. I'll get out there. Oh, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him. And I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he'd say to me. Would he contend with me in his great power? Would he say, hey, you little runt, you little surf rat, you live for that board in the wave. No, he wouldn't do that to you. Not at all. And then he says in verse 12, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I want the scripture. I want his words more than eating at In-N-Out Burgers. I want it. And whatever his soul desires, that's what he does. For he performs what is appointed for me. God has a plan and he's crying out to us all tonight. Will you surrender to me? He's appointed it as a night. And he's going to perform it. He's going to perform it, ladies and gentlemen, if we'll let him. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. I'm in awe that God could just appear and I would just be frazzled and fried. When I consider this, verse 15, I'm afraid of him. When I consider that God may take me up on it and I see him and I feel him, and I all of a sudden get this vociferous appetite for the scripture that I desire it more than my everyday food, that I take it, I'm afraid of him because I realize I'm an impure man with impure desires and impure and thoughts and emotions, and I'm selfish at nature, and I'm unjust and unkind. Can I trust him that if I let go of everything that he won't just wipe me out? Can I trust God if I let loose that he won't put me in hell and I'll burn and I thought I was one of his? Can I, Lord, I want to see you, but I'm afraid of you is what he's saying. I don't know what to do, God. For God, verse 16, made my heart, what's the word? Weak. God made my heart weak, it says in verse 16. And the Almighty terrifies me. Because I was not cut off from the presence of darkness, and he did not hide deep darkness from my face. Oh, really? You mean while you and I were in the darkness, God was there with us and saw it, and He didn't hide me from it. He let it be part of my life so that I could fear Him, that there's no place I can hide from Him, and I can't run from Him. Since times are not hidden from the Almighty, why do those who know Him see not His days? Well, Isaiah, you and Job have a lot to say. But if Isaiah said, if you're not going to believe, surely you're not going to be established. And moreover, the Lord spoke in verse 10, chapter 7, as we close up, to Ahaz the king, saying this: ask a sign for yourself. Not for the people, not for your family, but just for yourself. You have a heart. Uzziah had a heart. Isaiah has a heart. You have this inkling like Job that you're willing to say, oh, I give all of my heart to you. And what did the Lord Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In so doing, you fulfill both the law and the prophets. But do we really want to love everybody around us? And do we really want to love God? Because He may call for a holy fast or a holy prayer. And it's Super Bowl Sunday. What if He calls that? And then I say, oh, I'm sick. Got a sore throat. Can't go to the prayer meeting. Got to lay here on the couch and watch the TV a little bit here to get better. No, God says, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I just heard him say something there, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Oh? Well, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew, you remember, it's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks a sign. Behold, you can look at the clouds, see which way the wind's blowing, you know when it's going to rain. So you're asking some selfish reason, and God's saying, this isn't selfish. If you really want to know me, you want to get close to me, God's not afraid of you asking Him something that only He could answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not going to ask, well, take the pain out of my big toe. You might. But then you could say, it could be the arches I got from Dr. Scholl's. Make the rattle go out of the back of my car when I'm driving home tonight, and then I'll just know. No, because when you took it in for the lube job yesterday, the guy could have saw something and tightened it up. He wants you to ask something that only you and your heart will. Lord, you're there. You're really there. Wow. Hear now, says the Lord. Isaiah says to him, O house of David, to the Jews, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary me? Will you worry my God also? You're going to wear him out? Come on, don't play games. He's talking to you. That's what he's saying to Ahaz. Come on. You weary men, you're going to weary God? Now listen. Therefore, the Lord himself, this is personal, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, let's worship a little bit more, okay? And I want to leave you with this, because it's very important. The Hebrew word Alma. The enemies of the Bible, and I know I'll get some letters or something from professors and say, I'm not an enemy of the Bible, I just know Hebrew better than you. Well, anybody can know Hebrew better than me. But I side with the Lord on this. They will say that it means a young maid. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What kind of a sign would it be for a young woman to have a baby? Young women have babies all the time. But it would be quite a sign, wouldn't you think, if a virgin had a baby and conceived? From Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary, a good one if you don't have one, you're looking for one, takes the verses one by one. The word virgin from a root, to lie hid. Virgins being closely kept from the gaze of men in their parents' custodies in the East. The Hebrew and the Septuagint here and the Greek have the article the virgin, meaning some definite one known to the speaker and his hearers, primarily the woman, then a virgin. And so if you went to the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and you looked it up from Isaiah and you saw the Hebrew word for virgin as Alma, you would realize this, and I put the on the scriptures for you so that you could see it. Young woman of marriageable age, a maid or newly married, there is no instance, according to TWOT, the theological words of the Old Testament, there is no instance where it can be proved that this word designates a young woman who is not a virgin. So when you hear somebody, oh yeah, what do you know? You've been a Christian a year, reading the Bible, what, once a week? And somebody comes with that snooty attitude. There is not one instance where this word was used in this position that could prove it's just talking about a young girl that could have a baby. We're talking virgin. Impossibility. God gives us this Christmas the possibility to go to heaven by simply believing. And he makes it so simple that you simply believe his word. And it's an open book test, and all the answers are in the quiz on every page. There's no way that you can miss that narrow gate except you choose to. I don't want to miss any one of you in heaven. I want to see you there. And in the meantime, I'd like to see about 300 men in this church become ministers and start getting discipled for the service of the Lord, and women, to teach women and to be servants in the body of Christ, another 300 immediately. I'd like to see about 1,000 of you start tithing that never tithe. You start giving to God 1/10 of everything that you get from God, and you give it to him out of a full heart like Job, and you let him bring you back 10 times or 100 times what he gives you, but you always give to him and he'll give back to you. The Lord will honor you and he'll bless you. I'd like to see 1,000 of you people say, I am going to be a person of prayer. I see it before my very eyes, ladies and gentlemen, and it makes me weep and cry and breaks my heart. The fire and the enthusiasm that has slowly dissipated. And the young men being so diverse, of so distracted. You've got to realize we're in the last heartbeats of mankind. And we need to stand up for the righteousness of God on the solid rock that he gives us. But if we do not believe, we shall not be established. And we're going to fall with all that is going to fall if it hasn't already fallen. This is a time that God's people should lift up holy hands without doubting and shout unto God with a voice of triumph and clap their hands, O holy people. For the Lord is calling us to his service and he's preparing his bride for his soon return. And we want to be the parable of the people that were the good servants serving meat on his table and not out drunk and messing around with the things of this world like the unworthy servant that said, oh, the Lord delays his coming, and so I'll just flake out a little bit. No. Dive into this holy word and hide it in your heart. Wrap yourself around it and let it wrap itself around you like a cloak, and let the wind blow like the trees of the woods of a forest, and let your heart be in awe and fear and dread of the awesome, almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, that is a God of love. For if you love your neighbor, then God dwells in you, and you dwell in God. For God is love. And in this love is how you know that you are his son or daughter, because God casts out all fear. And if you fear, it is because you're not made perfect in love. No, let us love one another as he has loved us. For if you've seen the Father, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And the whole picture of Jesus is love. Love. And that's what he's looking for from you and me. Will we love him with every bit of our being and then love the people around us as much as we used to love ourselves and spend all day primping and look at ourselves in the mirror and making sure everything was okay as we went out into public. Yeah. From one human to another, the Lord is ready to take his people home. And this planet is going to be destroyed. Be as smart as the animals and the family of Noah and get on board the ark before it's too late. Shall we stand and shall we worship the Lord? Oh Lord, as you do this miracle of a virgin giving birth to a child, we humble our hearts before you and we think of that Christmas story of the babe in the manger. And how awesome it must have been for that young woman and her husband to actually be the two delivering that baby, knowing just from the moment she started to push what must have gone through Mary's mind, just mind-boggling to us, Lord, to have her water break, the plug release, and a child to come out. For Joseph to see all that must have been overwhelming, shocking, stunning to his human mind, frailty of his thinking patterns. We pray that you will put us in awe, that we would believe so we could be established in your kingdom. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and to fill us with the Holy Ghost and to give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that the Bible would be something we just want with us every day and everywhere we go, and that prayer would be unceasingly. Lord, that we would have faith that could move mountains to pray for the sick and to give to the poor and to trust you in all things. From the back row on the left to the back row on the right and all the way forward, may the Holy Spirit come like the soft wind blowing through the woods of the forest and move our hearts back and forth, flexing them to receive more love from you. May we truly be vessels of honor and vessels of love. And may this love shine brightly in the darkness as we walk with you into places we cannot imagine to help rescue lost souls. And yea, though we walk through the valley of death itself, God, we're not going to fear any evil because we know that you are with us. And surely, if we want to run from the trials and the testings we're in, we know that goodness and mercy are behind us and following us all the days of our life. So if we get fearful, we know we can see goodness and we can feel mercy. And we can keep going forward. And Lord, though our enemies encamp around us and they plan and plot against us to cripple us, to maim us, to halt us, to stop us, to defame us, to defraud us, we'll trust that when we're out of funds and we're out of resources, you're going to set a table right in the middle of all those enemies and have a banquet with us. And you're going to provide. And our cup is going to run over, Lord. And you're going to anoint us with oil. And we're going to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. And we're going to trust you with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to give up and fear no evil anymore of the unknown, the unexpected. We say, be gone from us. Fear. It's not in your vocabulary for us, Lord. We're not going to doubt, we're going to trust. So I pray you baptize this audience with the power of the Holy Ghost right now, and a newness and a freshness would come upon them in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh on Chapter and Verse Radio, where A Virgin Shall Conceive a Child has been our title and topic today. It just so happened that our studies in this series through Isaiah took us through the Christmas season, and I can't think of a better time to look at the message from this great Old Testament prophet. Be with us tomorrow when we'll look at chapter 8 and continue this theme of the coming Messiah. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and that's why we've devoted 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know the daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com, and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Isaiah, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMcIntosh.com. I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Make plans to join us tomorrow when we'll continue our study of the book of Isaiah. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.